Well, good morning, men. I really was looking forward to having my brother teach forgiveness. I rarely hear forgiveness taught as well as he teaches it, and I was disappointed. He called and said he's not feeling well. Forgiveness is crucially important. I don't know if there's a much more important topic other than the whole message of salvation than forgiveness, because the whole message of salvation is based on forgiveness that came through our Father God forgiving us. Forgiveness is so huge. Let's take a look at it. Number one character of Jesus is compassion. It says that he looked out over Jerusalem and he looked at people and he saw them with compassion. But it's revealed in the greatest way by his forgiveness. Do you remember? There's two places I often go, or I usually will go, and that I think emphasize in the scriptures forgiveness more than any other place, and that is Matthew 18 and Genesis 45. So this morning we're going to be looking at Genesis 45. But in Matthew 18, Peter comes up and he says, "Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother?" And he goes, "Seven times?" I think he had somebody in mind. Don't you think so? I think he did. And Jesus goes, "How about if you don't keep count?" He just said, 70 times 7? And I think that sort of blew Peter away. But what he was saying is there's never a time you don't forgive. That doesn't mean, there's a lot of things that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness doesn't mean that somebody isn't responsible for their actions and their decisions, but it does mean that we release them, and we release them so that God can handle them, and we don't try and bring about their change. We can work at talking and communicating, but forgiveness is releasing. And in Matthew 18, to me, Matthew 18 is so big. It's where Jesus defines forgiveness. And this is big. This is big because if you need, and there's no one here this morning that doesn't think of somebody who has hurt them or damaged them, and sometimes really, really deeply. There's fathers here who need to forgive their sons or daughters. There's sons here who need to forgive their dads. You know, there's a lot of pain and a lot of hurts and broken relationships involved. And what does that forgiveness look like? And that's what Jesus was looking at and talking about and revealing in Matthew 18 when Peter asks him, "How many times?" And Jesus says, there was a king who took account of his servants. And he found a servant who owed him 10,000 talents. Did you know that at servant's wages, that would have taken two lifetimes to pay back? In other words, he couldn't have paid it back. It was, and this is a term that you really need to keep in mind, and this goes, when I teach forgiveness out of Matthew 18, this is all up on the board. But I just want to bounce off of this before we go to Genesis 45, which is where we're going this morning. But he says he took account of his servants and found this servant who had an unpayable debt. There's no way he could have paid it back. It would have taken him two lifetimes at servant's wages to pay that back. And so he fell on his face before the king, and he says, "Have mercy on me. I will pay back everything." That was an impossibility. You see, when you need to forgive somebody, somebody has done something to you or said something to you and caused a huge amount of hurt inside or whatever, and here's the key. They can't go back and undo it. They can say they're sorry. They can ask for forgiveness. They cannot undo it. So it becomes an unpayable debt. Even, you know, I've watched, and it can really help when somebody who has hurt you deeply comes and grovels and says, I'm so sorry. Can you possibly find a place in your heart to forgive me? That really does help. But most of the time that we will have to forgive somebody, that will never happen. I was deeply hurt as a church leader by fellow church leaders, and I wasn't mature enough to know how to handle this. This is many years ago, and I got deeply offended. And I walked out of a business meeting, and I never went back. I stood up and said, "I don't believe this is the way God's people treat each other," and I turned around and I walked out, and I did not go back. I didn't go back to any of those business meetings. I didn't go back. We actually ended up leaving. But a year later, God brought a man in my life to teach me forgiveness out of Matthew 18 and how to cancel debt Because you see, I went home and I was angry and bitter. And I was angry and bitter for a year. I had children. I had a wife. I created a huge amount of hurt and pain in my family's lives. You see, because I didn't understand that I needed to cancel their debt. Because I could have told you why it was 99.9% their problem. Right? Isn't that accurate? Uh-huh. But what when this man came into my life to teach me forgiveness, he said, Jason, he said, you when you ask for forgiveness, when you cancel somebody's debt, you never bring up their part of it. You own 100% of your part of the problem, and you don't bring up their part. And after I chewed on that and disagreed with him much, I got to the place where, and we'll see this. You see, you forgive when you finally decide that you've had enough of the anger and the hurt and the pain and you don't know what to do with it. I'm just telling you. And about a year later, I went back to, I called up the church leader who was a dear friend of mine. And I said, you know, and I didn't agree with him and I didn't agree with how he handled it. But I said, could I come back? And I didn't go back to the business meeting. I said, could I come back and address the church? Because I was a church leader. I was a minister. And I got up in front and I asked their forgiveness for not being the man that God had called me to be as an example of a leader. And you know, what happened is there were people there who couldn't forgive me now because of the hurt that I had caused them. They felt abandoned. They felt like I had done things wrong. And I had. And it took years. And some of those people still haven't. And that's probably, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. But there were many over that period of time that have come and said, you know what, we forgive you, but we need to ask you for forgiveness too. So there's a lot of things, a lot of healing has come. A lot of healing has come. So Matthew 18 is canceling debt. That's what Jesus said. He canceled that servant's debt, an unpayable debt. He canceled it. He didn't ask him to come back and pay it anymore. But that man went out, and see, this is really important. That man went out and he grabbed a hold of a fellow servant who owed him 2 months' wages. And that man said the same thing to him that he said to the king, but he grabbed him by the throat and he threw him into desert debtor's prison, which makes no sense, right? If somebody needs money to pay back a debt and you put them in prison, they can't earn the money to pay it back. And then Jesus says that king took account of, he called that wicked servant, he called that servant that he had canceled his debt back in. He says, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours. Shouldn't you have canceled their debt? And he threw him into a debtor's prison to be tormented, the scriptures say, until he paid back everything that he owed. Now, I got a question for you. How much did he owe? How much did that man that the king called that servant back in that he had canceled his debt, and he says, you wicked servant. And he threw him into debtor's prison until he paid back all he owed. What did he owe? Tell me what he owed. More than he could pay. Is that what you agree? Do you agree? Do you know what's interesting? I thought for years, I thought that God, that king, and that's Jesus was referring to him as God, I thought that king had reinstated his original debt on him. I don't think so. He owed to cancel 2 months' wages. He put that other man in the debtor's prison. He threw that other man in the debtor's prison for 2 months' wages. He says, shouldn't you have canceled your fellow servant's debt? See, so when you don't forgive somebody, and it's an unpayable debt, you are the one who gets thrown into debtor's prison. Not that man. You are the one that gets tormented. Just think about somebody who's not forgiven. Okay? They're the ones that need to go for a lot of counseling. And they can't get over it. They keep on bringing it up. No. When we don't forgive somebody, we are the one who pays. We get thrown in the debtor's prison until we cancel our fellow servant's debt, 2 months' wages. I really believe that it was that he got that original two lifetimes debt put back on him. I don't see that anymore. And you know, Ray Weaver is here. He used to be part of Encourage Men, and he taught. I don't know where he got to, Ray. There he is. Okay. You know what? Ray's the one that challenged my thinking on that. And I had to rethink it years ago because I was teaching it the other way. So thank you, Ray. I owe that to you, big time. When we forgive, only when we know in our heart how great a sinner we are. Do you realize how great a sinner you are? Until I see how how problematic my heart is. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. Iniquity is going my own way. Iniquity is a perversity that's focused on me. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. You know, when you're hurt and wounded, it's because you haven't gotten your way and you want your way, right? That's pretty much the way it is. We were born in iniquity. We were born with that self-centered, selfish nature. So we get wounded and hurt, but we also wound and hurt. It goes both ways. We can forgive only when we know in our heart how much we are loved. Do you realize how much you're loved? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Sometimes I think we say that verse and we all know it, for God so loved the world, and we reduce the most important word in there to so, for God so loved. No, it's for God so loved the world that he gave. That's so huge to know how loved you are. Wow, we have a father who loved us so much, he was not going to let us sit in our fallenness, in our garbage, and he sent Jesus. There is no greater message than that. We can forgive when we know how much we have been forgiven. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for my sins, your sins, to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. When you pray, say, Father, Father, forgive us. To whom be glory forever and ever. You see, we have been forgiven so much. We have been forgiven so much. How rich we are as God's child. You see, you can't cancel that. Here's another thing that's so important to me. Listen, brothers, please. I don't know what your walk with God is. But when we have accepted Jesus and his death and resurrection as the plan of salvation, and we understand that, and when we accepted him as our Lord, our Savior, do you know how rich you are? And you see, if canceling debt if forgiveness is canceling debt, how much do you have in your spiritual bank account? Because you see, if somebody wounded you and wounded you deeply, if you put a dollar amount to that, so when I was wounded and I stayed home from church for a year, I want to tell you what, their debt was so huge. That debt was so big. I'm going to put $1 million on it. $1 million on it. Maybe two. But you see, here, look what it says. Because you are sons, because you are a son of God, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, Daddy. So you are no longer a slave, but you are a son. And if you are no longer a slave and you're a son, look what it says. Since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Do you know what that means? You are an heir of everything that the Father has. Now, tell me how rich the Father is. Tell me how rich the Father is. There's no limit to it. The whole, everything belongs to him. And we are joint heirs together of Christ. We are joint heirs together with Christ. Do you know how rich you are? You see, it doesn't matter if I have a $2 million debt against somebody else. You see, if I only have $500 in my spiritual bank account, I can't cancel that debt because I don't have enough money to cover it. And you see, so I hang on to it, and I hang on to it because they owe me more than what I have in the bank account. But if you realize how rich you are, that you are a multi-billion, zillion, trillionaire, and that $2 million debt that you owe your dad or your dad owes you, that's pocket change. That is pocket change compared to how rich you are in Christ. That's so important for us to realize. Okay, although I was less than the least of all God's people, the grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you realize how rich you are? It's beyond unsearchable. You can't put a figure on it. How about the angry you? Anybody here angry? Don't raise your hand. You see, oftentimes when we're wounded or hurt, we're angry. I was just working yesterday. I have a workshop on the system and angry defectors. Huh. Wow. So I'm looking at this. But the angry you know, we're rigid. When we're angry, we're rigid. We're rigid with our children. We're rigid with our wife. We're rigid with people around us. Impulsive, short-sighted. We don't think much about the past unless it's about how it's frustrating us. Okay? You think about the past and you just chew on it, and it just works on you, and you think about it all the time, and it just keeps on, it just niggles at you. not overly concerned with the future outcome. Because you see, when we don't forgive people, you know, if you have unforgiveness in your heart and you're holding a grudge and you're bitter and angry, all I can tell you is you're going to contaminate the people that you love the most. You are. You're going to damage your children. You're going to damage your great-grandchildren. You're going to damage your wife. You're going to damage the people around you. The people that you love the most, if you're angry and bitter, those are the people that are going to pay because of your bitterness and anger. Okay? The need and the want to be right. Okay? Normal you. The normal you can be shocked at the behavior of the angry you. You ever catch that? Mm-hmm. You see, you're pretty normal, right? Until anger opens up. And then you say and do things that you wish you never would have said and done. The most traumatic stress disorder comes from things that people have done rather than what they saw. You know, people go to war and they see horrible things and they come back and they have this traumatic stress disorder. But what it's been proven is they'll claim it's what they saw, but oftentimes they end up, as they get in deeper into it, it's what they did and how they responded to what they saw. Sometimes we, in our anger and frustration, we have done things that create huge amounts of problems inside. We need to acknowledge our anger. Anger is justified if, okay, don't ever tell your children not to be angry. Anger is a real emotion. It's a real emotion. You need to hear and ask, and then you need to train and teach how to respond properly to anger. Otherwise, if you don't, we call it emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence means teaching your children how to respond to grief. I watched Grace do that in the last couple days with our granddaughter. We sold our goats. That was a good thing from my perspective. It wasn't from my granddaughter's perspective. And she was just crying and crying and crying. And my daughter had to help her work through and understand that grief was okay. Okay, that's so minor. But you see, anger is also a real emotion that needs to be dealt with properly. Anger is justified if anger is against evil and wrong. The Bible says that we are to be angry, but not to sin in that anger. You see, sometimes I think God's people don't get angry enough at sin. We don't get maybe even angry enough at our response to sin. Attack the problem with zeal and indignation. Aggressive against the problem, not against the person. Repent of sinful anger when you've either blown up or clammed up. Obedience is hard. Disobedience is destructive. Okay? Understand that our anger has some roots, and we find those roots, and we understand that feeling is real. But if we can understand where the roots come from, even if it's in our selfish and self-centeredness, now we can start working on the root of the problem. The root of the problem. Let's keep, we got to, time's getting away here. Bitterness is anger gone wrong. It's holding somebody liable for a sin. I can promise you I held those other church leaders liable for a long time. And I was so bitter and angry. Here it says, bitterness contradicts God's attitude toward you, toward me. Forgive one another, and look at this. It says, even as. Even as is an analogy. It tells us, here's the example. Forgive one another, even as. So my question is, it says, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. How much has God forgiven you? How has God forgiven you? A little bit? A lot of it every day. For all of it? Yeah. He forgives us. Yeah, and he says, that's how we are to do others. Even as, don't hang on to that one, brothers. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do you know what happens when we hang on to an unpayable debt? It's sort of stupid, isn't it? I inherited a business. Well, I bought a business from a grandpa, sort of inherited and bought. And I've had this file came along with it. And it was full of unpaid bills from past customers. You know how long I hung on to that? It was in one of the cabinets, Anthony, in my office. You know what? I'd open it up, and then there they are. So I could see it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. 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 Do you know how that? I go, if only I could. You know, they owe that, right? But it was a lot of freedom when I finally took that thing and threw it in the dumpster. because I knew I'd never collect it anyway. Now I couldn't go back and I couldn't see who it was, couldn't get reminded of it. You know, there's a lot of freedom came. You see, I canceled the debt of those people. There it went in the dumpster. All hope of retrieving, okay, after the garbage man came. You see, as we forgive our debtors, an unforgiving heart is an unforgiven heart. That's something we really need to know. An unforgiving heart is an unforgiven heart. Six ways to know that we have totally forgiven. This comes out of Genesis 45. It's the story of Joseph and his brothers. Do you think there was a problem here? Absolutely there was. Oh, here's the number one. You have a handout there, and you have some places you can fill in. We don't tell anyone. Now, I would like to put a caveat here. If you're going for help and you're going to a counselor, there's times when you need to talk about some things and open it up and get it out. But I'll tell you what we don't do. We don't go around and say, hey, do you know what he did to me? Let me tell you the whole story. I want you to understand. When we do that, man, we are asking for trouble, and we are sowing discord. We are creating problems. Yeah, we don't tell anyone. Then Joseph could not refrain himself. Now, you know that you all know the story of Joseph, so we don't have to go there. Well, so we're not going to go back and rehash the story, but you know the whole picture where he was thrown into a pit, the whole works. So now this is where now Joseph's brothers have come back, and it's a whole interesting story. You know that. It takes up quite a few chapters in Genesis. It is that vital. It is that important. Then Joseph couldn't refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. There were people all around him. He was one of the leaders. He was head over Egypt. And he was second in command under Pharaoh, and Pharaoh even made him number one. And so he says, he told him, clear out the room. You see, we tell because we don't want them to be liked. You know what? He had every opportunity in front of all those courtiers in the office there in the palace. He could have said, hey, here's my brothers. Do you know what they did to me? Do you have any idea what they did to me? Let me tell you what they did to me. And he could have had them so squirming. They squirmed anyway. I mean, they were really squirming. But it wasn't because he was doing it in front of others. I mean, he could have made them look so, so bad. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. See, Joseph didn't make them look miserable in front of other people. He didn't. Fear has punishment. And we want people to pay. Perfect love casts out fear. He loved them perfectly. Okay. Number two, we don't let them be afraid of us. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph. And he let them know what was going on. He says, I am the one you sold into Egypt. He wasn't shoving stuff under the carpet. He wasn't making believe it never happened. He says, I'm the one you sold into Egypt. And about that time, they were sweating majorly. They were majorly hurting. They're going, oh my. You see, I'm sure he looked like an Egyptian. I'm sure he didn't look like a Hebrew. He probably had an Egyptian haircut. He probably was dressed in Egyptian clothes. He was speaking Egyptian when they were come in and they didn't understand what he was saying. But when he put everybody out of the room, all of a sudden he started talking Hebrew. Somebody even suggested that he might have shown them that he was circumcised. I don't know. I have no idea. But somebody suggested that because to prove I'm not one of these uncircumcised Egyptians. I don't know that. That's speculation. But he says, I am your brother Joseph. I'm the one you sold. They spoke to him, and I'm sure because of the way he communicated, they knew. You see, at one time, Joseph wanted more than anything else to have them in this spot. He wanted them to be afraid of him. I can imagine while he was in that pit, while he was walking and trudging along toward Egypt behind that whole, caravan of merchants, I bet he was thinking, oh, man, if I have the opportunity, if only I can. He gave up on that, I'm sure. But you see, 1 Corinthians 11 says, love doesn't keep any record of wrong. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ouch. Do you hear that, brothers? Love doesn't keep a record of wrong. How many of you have a Rolodex that goes in your mind here and it just keeps on going? You know what he did to me? Do you know what he did to me? Do you know what he did to me? Do you know what she did to me? Rarely does it say, boy, do you know what I did to them? Do you know what I did to them? We don't, that's the Rolodex we just shove in the back room, right? We don't get that one out. It's always the one, you know what they did to me? It just keeps on going over and over and over again. Love keeps no record. When that Rolodex starts going, Father, Father, I'm canceling that debt. You won't let them feel guilty. Oh, man. Man, come on. I want them to feel guilty. I want them to understand how bad it hurt. I want them to feel it. I want them to feel it. Joseph set them free. He set them free. Now, you know, he played with them for a while. It's like a cat and a mouse. Can you imagine when they were going back through and here they came after him and said, hey, you know, our master's golden cup's missing. Oh, we didn't take it. And they opened up the bag and there it is. I mean, he did. He played cat and mouse for a while. I don't understand that whole picture. I really don't understand that whole picture. And there could be he just wanted them to really know. But he finally set them free. He did set them free. He says, do not be distressed. This is Joseph speaking. Don't be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves. Listen, you hear what he says? Don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. He's trying to get them to see the bigger picture. No, I can tell you, listen, brothers, I just told you about how I went home, stayed home from a church because I was angry and bitter for a year. You know, when I look back on this, listen, when I look back on that, also, after we were married, about 2, 3, 5 years into our marriage was over. That girl didn't love me anymore. I had wounded her and damaged her deeply. But you see, I couldn't be up here teaching. I wouldn't be here teaching. I have spent the last many years helping hurting people if I wouldn't have gone through those things. Who knows where God is taking you? Some of the things that you're hurting with and you are struggling with, and God is, if you respond as God would have you respond, in forgiveness, and he wants to heal your heart. If you respond according to his word, who knows where God is going to be taking you to help you become a healer and further his kingdom by blessing other people. I look back and I see those experiences were teaching and training and breaking my self-will. I was one proud little peacock. And God had to break that self-will in me. And he knew how to do that. And either we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and he exalts us in due time, or he brings things into our life because he loves us so much to humble us. And then we either choose to submit to that humbling, or we insist on going our own way. I can do this on my own. And then he says, okay, try it for a while and see how that works. Been there, done that. Don't work very well. Did you ever send anybody on a guilt trip? Nobody here like that, right? Anybody ever sent you on a guilt trip? Wow. You see, he wouldn't let them feel guilty. Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's Jesus hanging on the cross. He was suffering. You see, even he suffered well. Even on the cross, he was caring for others. He was even caring about them. Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. Oh, I was just, I'm learning so much these days. I'm just telling you, I can't go there. It's a bunny trail that I'm learning so much about spiritual warfare. It's amazing what I'm seeing in the scriptures. But remember what Paul says? Paul says if they would have known what they were doing, they would not have killed him. Why? Because they were bringing about that's the principalities and powers. That's the rebellious sons of God who are working to damage our king, God's kingdom in our world. And he says, if they would have known what they were doing, they never would have crucified the Son of Glory. Why? Because they were bringing about their own destruction. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he was talking about the soldiers. He wasn't talking about the ones who were making it happen in the background, the principalities and powers. Number four, you let them save face. You didn't send me here. God did. Isn't that interesting? You know, he could have said, you're the one that sold me here. You did this whole thing. But, you know, now you can go into all kinds of lessons in the whole picture of Joseph. You know, and we do. When we talk about Joseph, we talk about his arrogance and his pride because he was the son of a favored wife. Then he became a favored child. And you know what favoritism does? It doesn't do anything good for you. Okay, really doesn't do anything good for you. I remember in a message one time I was saying, you know what favoritism does? And a man in the background, he said, it makes you angry. Came right out in the service. Does. And so here's this spoiled brat going out to his brothers. He wouldn't have had to wear his multicolored coat. And he wouldn't have had to told them everything about the dream. You see, he was just letting them know he was the favorite and the best. But here he has this opportunity. He let them save face. He says, you didn't send me here. God did. He saw the bigger picture. He saw the bigger picture. Can you see the bigger picture in your hurt and your pain? Can you see, right now, maybe you're in the middle of it, and you are so angry, and you're so frustrated, you can't see the bigger picture, but there is a bigger picture. God has a plan. God did not bring this into your life without purpose. There is nothing that happens to you that hasn't passed through the fingers of God. And there is nothing that happened to you, or will happen to you, or has happened to you, that he can't redeem. God is a redeemer. He's a redeeming God, and he will redeem your hurt, your pain, and he will turn it into something that he'll take a mess and turn it into a message. Yeah. Yeah. Do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. It was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land, and for the next five, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and save your lives by a great deliverance. Isn't that amazing? You see, he started seeing the bigger picture. God has the bigger picture in mind. It's us that have to understand that he has a bigger picture in mind. Total forgiveness brings a freedom from self-righteousness. Total forgiveness brings a freedom from self-righteousness. I could have told you why they were the problem and I wasn't. I felt like I was very much in the right and they were very much in the wrong. That's always the way it is when you're going to have to forgive, when you forgive. When something like this happens, you're going to see yourself as righteous and them as evil. I can promise you. But you see, we can't forgive until we understand what a great sinner we are. Paul says, I am the chiefest. I hurt the church of God. You see, when we get to the place where we can humble ourselves, then God can deal with us and we become very useful for him. Number five, you protect them from their darkest secret. This was a point that just really grips me. He says, now hurry back and say to my father, look, he knows what's going to happen. He's going to send his brothers back there and their dad's going to ask them questions. And here he's telling them what to say to them. Isn't that amazing? He's telling them what to say to them. Hey, we ran into Joseph. This is what your son Joseph says. Here's Joseph telling them what to say to help them save face. And so that and to maybe protect them from their darkest secret. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Now come down, Dad. Bring him along. Don't delay. I will provide for you here because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and all that belong to you will become destitute. You can see that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my daddy about all the honor accorded to me in Egypt and about everything you've seen and bring my father down here quickly. You see, he's helping them save face. He's protecting them from their darkest secret. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Come on, brothers. See, God has a plan. He wants us to see that he has a plan. We can destroy people by revealing their past. He could have, I don't know what his daddy would have done if he would have known all the details, and I guess maybe eventually he found out. I don't know. I'm not even sure he did. Number six, keep on living this as long as you live. Okay? This forgiveness is not something you do. Listen, forgiveness is not something you do. Forgiveness becomes a way of life. Okay? Forgiveness becomes a way of life. You see, do you think God needs to forgive you every day? I need forgiveness on a regular basis. I even need forgiveness from other people. I need forgiveness from my wife. So keep on living. It becomes a way of life. Well, you see, when you start living forgiveness as a way of life, the bitterness and anger don't keep building up. You keep releasing it. You release it every day. You forgive every day. You release what was done to you. It's beautiful. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, oh man, isn't this amazing? Look what happens here. You know what? Here, this is so important, brothers. So important about what's going on right here. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back all the wrongs we did to him?" You see, what they were thinking is now that dad's gone, there's no reason for us to be safe anymore. He was being kind to us because of dad. Now dad's gone, we are in big doo-doo. So look what they did. They sent word to Joseph saying, "Oh man, they concocted another story, didn't they? Your father left these instructions before he died. That's a lie." Okay? "This is what you're to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." And when the message came to Joseph, Joseph wept. Why would he weep? Why do you think he wept? He had already canceled their debt. He had canceled. Yeah, they didn't get it. Listen, some of you have never received the forgiveness of God. You know that? Jesus paid for your sin on the cross. He paid for it with his life. He paid for it with his blood. He paid for it with pain and suffering, the most agonizing death that anybody could experience. He was beat, he was spit on, he was mocked, and then he died by suffocation. That's what you die from when you're crucified. As long as you can push, have the strength in your legs to push up so you can breathe, and then your legs get tired and you go down, and then you're hanging by your hands, and then you can't breathe. And then you start gasping for breath, and then you finally push up again, and you keep doing that until your legs can't push you up and down anymore. That's what I've been told. That was a slow, agonizing death. But he gave his life. You see, until you realize how forgiven you are. And see, those brothers never received the forgiveness. Joseph had given them forgiveness. He had forgiven them. He had canceled their debt. They had never received the cancellation of that debt. They never received it. It was given. Listen. If you haven't received Jesus' forgiveness, then you're going to have a hard time giving it to other people. If you don't receive the Father's forgiveness, the Father has forgiven you, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You hear that? And you got to receive that. If you receive that, then you will have the grace to cancel other people's debt. And if you haven't, you can't forgive their debt. Joseph cried. He grieved over this because he said, "My brothers have been carrying this." Can you imagine? This is what happens with unforgiveness. When you don't forgive and you don't receive forgiveness, when you don't forgive and receive forgiveness, you spend your life carrying that debt. And it's a nasty one. It's a monkey on your back. And it shouldn't have to be. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves." Oh my goodness, do you see that? They were in slavery ever since. They were in slavery from the very minute when he says, "I am your brother that you sold into Egypt," when their knees started knocking and they were just sweating that it was dripping off their nose. They never got out of that slavery. They were in bondage to that fear about what Joseph would do to them eventually. You know, some of you fear because of what God might do to you eventually when you face him. Listen, you send your sins before ahead of him beforehand so that they're cleansed and they are under the blood. When you confess your sin, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That we can stand bold, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, and we can stand before him righteous. Righteous, not because of our righteousness, but because of his righteousness, because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Otherwise, we're still slaves. We're still in bondage. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't fear. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them, and he spoke kindly to them. Can we speak kindly to those who we've forgiven? I'm just telling you, over the years, I'm going back to that church experience. I'd be shopping at Dutch Way, and I'd be walking down an aisle, and here comes somebody walking down the other aisle from that I had really had major problems with. I've had the experience where they turned around and walked out and went down a different aisle. But today, we walk and we smile and we shake each other's hands and we're okay. We're okay. That's what happens when the debt gets canceled. Okay. That's what needs to happen. When we forgive, we receive peace and freedom. Then we pick up the offense again and then we lose our peace and freedom. You ever do this? You see, you don't do it once and done. This becomes a way of life. I have to remind myself over and over and over again. We repeat this process until we decide that. Until we decide that, peace is better. When you finally decide that peace is better than carrying that monkey on your back and that burden of anger and frustration internally, you'll repeat this process. It'll become a way of life. Yeah. Three areas that need to come together to have faith: intellectual, proofs of logic. Okay, what we're doing this morning is we were talking about forgiveness, and hopefully proofs of logic were helping you put this together so that you actually believe that forgiveness is the right thing to do. Personal, we see our need, that we need something beyond our own power to get through life. We do. You see, it needs to be something that God has done for us so that we can take this and we can then practice it and live it. But social, to see the concepts of Christianity work out in real life. Listen, your children's faith will grow and be healthy when they see their daddy and their mommy practicing forgiveness and freedom. But when they see daddy and mommy holding grudges, they see daddy holding grudges. And they see daddy not forgiving. And they see daddy angry because of what he's carrying, because that monkey's on his back. You see, your children will pick up those things too. It's when we are living in freedom because we canceled debt, now our children can. You see, social is the number one problem. I hear it when I work with hurting people. You see, their observation and seeing that Christianity really might not work because they don't see it lived out. Let's live it, brothers. Let's live it. Dad, mom, marriage, church, social, business. Okay, in every one of those different aspects, I don't care where you're at. If you're a businessman, you have an awesome opportunity to practice these things with your employees. If you're a dad, you really have awesome opportunity to practice it in front of your children and your wife. It doesn't matter where you are. You have the opportunity to reveal that God's ways work. Okay. Joseph had a victim mentality. Jephthah had a victim mentality. Remember Jephthah? He was the son of a harlot. He took on a grudge. We're not going to go there. We want to get you to a small group. But he had a victim mentality. Unforgiveness makes us prisoner to our emotions. Jephthah, he made this rash vow. Remember, if you give me victory over the army, I'm going to send out the first thing that comes back to me. I'm going to sacrifice that. And it ends up being his daughter. You see, when you have a victim mentality, you will make decisions and choices that will really cause you a lot of hurt and pain. And you'll hurt and you will cause other people a lot of hurt and pain. A victim mentality, unforgiveness, will cause you to do a huge amount of damage. Joseph had a servant mentality. Forgiveness becomes a servant of our will, our choosing. You don't do it because you feel forgiving. You choose to forgive. It's an act of your will. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. And forgiveness is part of that love. Would you all stand? And I want you to sing a song for me, and then we're going to dismiss the small group. Okay? Here's a song. It's my Be Still My Soul, but I really, what happened? Oh, that one went away. There it came back. Okay, look at the words of this song. Okay, look at the words of this song when we sing it. It's, I then shall live. Okay. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. I know my name is clear before my Father's words. I am His child, and I am not afraid. So set us free. Oh, Father, would you help us to set others free so that we can be free indeed because we canceled debt just as you have canceled our debt. Thank you, Father. Thank you in the name of Jesus.